I yield my vessel to you. Even that which I do not say with my lips, minister to them, O God. Take them, Lord, into the place you designed for them before the world began. Every life here has a purpose. Every life here was born for destiny. But I thank you, Lord, you, Holy Spirit, have the power to transform every life by your word. Quicken us, Lord, according to your word. Quicken us, Lord, according to your word, that the people might go to serve you in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Let the children go. Let the children go. The Spirit of God is upon me. You can take your seat, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the opening up of the prison door to them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn in Zion, to grant unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree that today in every life, I say there's a transformation of beauty for ashes in the name of Jesus. I decree in the name of Jesus, as the word comes forth, I say the oil of joy wells up in every heart for mourning, and the garment of praise is released for the spirit of heaviness. I decree as the word comes out of my lips today, that every waste place has become the Garden of Eden, and every confusion has received light in the name of Jesus. I decree in Jesus' name by the Spirit of God that everyone held bound is loosed in the name of Jesus Christ to serve the living God. I decree in the name of Jesus as the word comes forth that every heart is healed, every body, every sick body is transformed, and every life is taken to the place of their destiny and realigned with the path that God has designed for them before the foundations of the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I give you thanks and I give you praise in Jesus' name. We'll just go into the scriptures today quickly. We've been talking about in the last few weeks, initially we talked about our identity in Christ Jesus, then went about talk about healing being for all. Today I think the Lord led me to speak about this subject, which I didn't plan to last night. So I was praying to continue the healing session and the healing teaching, but He directed me in this path, and I believe that it's because of the people, because we're here because of the people. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. We're talking about the new creature in Christ. And we just want to highlight a few things here, which is very important in our Christian walk. He says, Ezekiel 36:26, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put into you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's what we've been talking about in the last week, about the new creature in Christ Jesus, that God performed the miracle of the new birth by causing a transformation and creating a new man in Christ. And this is what he prophesied here in Ezekiel. He said, I will give them a new heart, and a new spirit will I put into them. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give them a heart of flesh. And now, what the Spirit of God was emphasizing, is going to emphasize today, is something different. If you go to the next verse. He now said, and I, the work was not complete, just with creating the new man. If you didn't come in the last few weeks, go to the website and get the tapes on the identity in Christ. He said, the work is not complete without finishing this thing. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. He said the power of the new creature is not sufficient. He said you need an extra enablement to fulfill the dictates and the demand of the new covenant. He says that cannot only be accomplished with the person of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. God was telling me yesterday that people are trying to walk with the power of their own human spirit to carry out the dictates of the new covenant. He said, and they've neglected the person of my Holy Spirit, they put into the background. And he said, the degree to which you see him manifest in your life is the degree to which you allow him into your personal space. Father, we give you thanks. Now, let's go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. Father, we give you thanks. These meetings, every gathering of Christians, every Sunday meeting, everywhere you see Christians gather, is different from the gatherings of the world. Because you can gather a crowd together and everybody gets emotionally excited. But the missing element is the person of the Holy Spirit, which has the power to transform the soul of men. Those guys, they don't have the power to transform. They can get excited and then leave the place the same way. Without that element, there is no advancement or progress in its true sense. People will come and shout and sing, and there will be no transformation of salvation in their lives as individuals. So that's why these meetings are called. That's why we come to church every Sunday. That's why Paul said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Not that so that we can get together and see ourselves and laugh. No, so that there will be a transformation of lives. That's what the whole gospel is about. It says the words preached did not profit them. So the essence of coming together in this place is to hear the word that will lead to definite profit and transformation in the lives of people. Now let's go to Acts. Acts. We need to see this clearly. And I will show you how to prepare for every meeting you are coming for. I will show you the lifestyle path that every meeting will be an encounter. Because God chose that through the foolishness of preaching that people will be saved. He chose it by himself. I don't know why he chose it, but through the foolishness of preaching, the people are going to say, why are you gathering together to clap? Happy clappies. But God has said, I have chosen the foolish things, that through the foolishness of preaching, that words will cause salvation to be manifested in people's lives. But the world doesn't understand that. Let's understand this, and that is the power of Christianity. Acts chapter 10. Let's start from verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God, and with all his house he gave much alms to the people and prayed always. It says he gave much alms to the people and prayed always. Now, he says, and he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius, and he looked on him and he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come unto me for a memorial. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Listen. He said, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He said, the essence of gathering, really. Let me tell you, the essence of people coming to church on Sunday, you can see your house, God has designed it like that, is for God. Let me read this, then I'll come back. Let's go on. And the angel said unto Cornelius, and the angel spoke unto Cornelius, and was departed. He called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them. They waited on him continually, and he left. And if you look further in 9, let's go to 14. And Peter said, no, Lord, for I've never seen eating anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him again, and the second time, what God has cleansed, that shall not call uncommon. So we can see from that scripture that Cornelius had an encounter with God, and Peter had an encounter with God. So what God told Cornelius was that go and send for Peter, and when Peter comes, he will tell thee what you ought to do in that particular situation. So when you're coming for meetings, what the essence of it all is that you are meeting God in your closet, asking him for certain things in your life. You might be reaching out for certain things in the privacy of your heart. And while the person that is leading the worship or whoever it is leading teaching the word of God, God is ministering to him as well. So when both of you come together, because there has been interactions in the spirit in prayer. See, we're not just coming and gathering here for fun. There have been interactions in prayer. You with God in your closet, he with God in his closet. When you come together, the words that will come out of his lips will be specific and directional for you. He will tell you, he will tell you exactly what you ought to do. But that preparation has to be there. That's why we pray. Before a service, you have to spend time, listen, you have to spend time reaching out to God, saying, God, send him. That's what it means to be sent. It says, how shall they hear? Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Romans. We need to see this and know how to interact, you know, with the gospel of Christ. Romans. We'll come back to Cornelius, but let's go to Romans first. It says there, Romans chapter 10. Now, we'll start from verse 11. It says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. It says, whosoever comes to the state where he believes on Jesus shall never be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. So whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now says, how shall they call in whom they have not heard? How shall they call on whom they have not believed? He says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news or good tidings. So what he's saying is that the preacher brings the word of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and the people hear certain words that causes them to believe, and that results in salvation in their lives. That's how God chose it. That is God's way and order. I mean, you cannot change it. Let's go to Acts again. We'll see something. So I want us to maximize our gathering together. That's what I'm trying to say. We don't just gather together to get emotionally excited. You know, we can do that in other places. We can do that in our various gatherings. We come here to receive certain things. And we'll explain further. Okay, let's go on. Let's go to Acts 10, and let's go to verse 26. But let's go to 25. Acts 10, 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and said, stand up. I myself also am a man. And he talked with him. He went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing. He explained to them and all that. And Cornelius said in 30, 4 days ago, these are the things Cornelius was doing in his closet. See, Jesus said, he says, these are the three things that you should do in your closet. He said, when a man is praying, a man is fasting, and a man is giving privately. He says, the Lord will reward him openly. See, let's follow it. He says, Cornelius said, I was fasting until this hour, in the night hour. I was praying in my house. And remember, he said, Cornelius was a man that was given to giving alms, helping people out. in the secret practice of his house, he was carrying out certain private practices which opened him up to this miraculous manifestation. The lifestyle of helping people. That is why when Peter was coming, Cornelius went to gather his friends and kings. He was a man that was, he was into giving and helping people. He gathered them. He said, there's something that is about to happen in my life as a person. Let me gather my friends and my kingsmen to sit down and partake of the same thing that is happening in my life. A lifestyle of giving is part and parcel of the gospel of Christ. I don't mean giving in church. I mean giving, helping people. That predisposition, you want to help. Anywhere you hear trouble, you are going, you are the first responder. I want to help people. I want to lift people's burdens out of where they are. I want to, even if it's not money, it's time. Even though time is emotion, if I'm giving to helping. You hear your neighbor, you see, there's something you have that can help someone beside you. Cornelius is a man, he says, your prayers, not just your prayers, and your alms have come before me as a memorial. This is very important. This is a very vital thing. That's what Jesus said. He said, look, three secret practices. I'll repeat it again. He said, when you pray, do it in secret. When you fast, do it in secret. And when you give alms, do it in secret. And your Father that sees in secret will cause a reward to manifest openly. The Holy Ghost fell openly on them. This is very, very important. I'm just going to teach you certain lifestyles to adopt to cause God to constantly be in your life. Okay. What happened? He says, I was fasting and I was in prayer. Hold your place there. You know, he said, in the mouth of truth, we've heard Jesus say, let us go to one more witness. So you won't say, it's from. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. One step behind. Please maintain that lifestyle. Helping people. Helping people, even if it's at the airport. You know? See someone carrying five luggages. These are practical things. And you're going there strolling. You will help them. Maybe has a buggy, pushing a buggy with a child. He's carrying luggage, he's struggling. You will go there and offer. That predisposition that you are the first, it just takes over you. You want to just help. It must be there. It must be there. Understand that. And the lifestyle of prayer. It says, I was in prayer at the ninth hour. He said Peter was in prayer at a certain hour. So they had set times where they separated. It didn't mean they had to pray the long prayer. They had set times where they separated themselves in prayer unto God. And then he was fasting. There are times where you have to fast. So you understand these are the core cardinal things of the gospel of Christ. And Jesus taught it. Now if you go to 10, I'm just going to buttress it again so that we'll see it from the scripture again. Chapter 9, verse. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 9. It says, this was after Saul had the encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus. 9:9. It says, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat or drink. Let me tell you, in my life, when I see things shutting down, I look closely and I say, what is my giving life like? How many people have I helped, called to even encourage? How many people have I called to help? How many people have I helped in the last few weeks? When I look at it, I say, this thing has dropped. It affects. See, it affects your life. I'm telling you, it opens you up to receive things. A lifestyle, even the people of the world practice it. Let's not show that part. It is so vital. That's what Jesus says. First of all, when you want to enter the kingdom, sell all that you have and provide alms, give to the poor. Very important. I cannot overemphasize it. When Nebuchadnezzar was about to be judged, he told him, he said, look, this thing is about the degree of the watcher. He said, to prolong the judgment of God upon your life, to prevent this thing, he said, begin to give alms to the poor. Understand this. Make it a lifestyle of helping people. It might not be money. Helping people. It is part and parcel. You cannot shut your eyes and be so engrossed in your own needs. See, when you do that, something opens up in heaven. I said, when you do that, I've seen it over and over again. When you do that, be conditioned, saying, I'm willing to be spent for my brethren. I'm willing to pray for my brother's child before I pray for my child. I'm willing to pray for my neighbor's church before I pray for my church. I'm willing to pray for the people around before I even touch my own. That is a predisposition which you learn, which you grow into. You have to. It is so important. I can't overemphasize it. It is so important. It is the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why people are not saying things. So much effort praying for their own things. They are pushing their things. Turn and do that. Let God do your own. Don't try to do it yourself. Understand this. So Paul was praying from 9, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. So he was in fasting. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And God said to him in a vision, go and lay your hands on Saul. And, you know, the same thing happened. He went there and laid hands on Saul because God showed Saul and God showed Ananias. So they were both in prayer and there was a connection. So before you come to church every Sunday, before you go to any meeting, go to your closet. Ask God, Lord, this thing I am believing you for, today, as the man of God comes to preach, it's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't know you. Let him say things that will give me exactly what to do and what to say. While the man is praying in his closet, Father God, give me words that will cause life to enter into people's lives. When you come, people might be sitting and saying, what is this guy saying? But you, some things are happening inside you. Everybody sitting and hearing it. But your own, because you have made an interaction, a transaction in your closet with God, there is a unite, there's something happening. Something is taking place in your own soul that the next man might not be experiencing. That's why you interact with the gospel. That's why you interact with meetings, with church, in any gathering of people of God. That's how you interact with it. So understand that. So that's what happened here. And I just showed you to emphasize the point. Now, what did Paul do? I mean, what was it? Let's go on. Chapter 10. Verse 32. He says, send therefore to Joppa, Cornelius was still talking, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. So as I'm speaking today, because prayers have been made, you will hear certain things that will give you direction on what you ought to do. It's by the Spirit of God. He now says, he is lodged in the house of Simon the Tanner. 33 says, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, there we all are here present before God. See, we need to understand this. We're not gathered to any man. Cornelius said, we are all present here in this place. Not before any man, but before God. To hear words of God through the vessel that's going to speak. So I might be saying things that might not be relevant to, the Holy Ghost will take you on a tangent as I'm speaking, which is something, I might not have even said it, but something I say might trigger it and it begins to take you on a tangent. Understand, we are here before God. Understand this. To hear all things that are commanded of thee. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. Now he now began to preach the gospel, and he says, as Peter spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. See, as Peter spoke, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and salvation was wrought. So you remember God said to Cornelius that Peter will tell you things that will cause salvation to come not only to you, also to your household. So the salvation we're talking about is a salvation that is transferred by the use of words. Listen to me. The salvation we are talking about is a salvation that is transferred by the use of words. Not just mere words. Words that are directed and given by the Holy Spirit. He says, these things also we speak, not with words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we are here today to receive words by the Holy Spirit that will cause a transformation in our lives. Now, let's go to Romans. We're getting to the message now. Romans chapter 8. So it's the Spirit of God that does it. That does the transformation, that does the transfer. I can be speaking here, but it's the Spirit that will take those words and cause certain things to be ministered into you. It's not understanding the message. No. It is hearing words, specific words that will cause salvation to be triggered in your life as an individual. Father, we give you thanks. So Romans 8. We're going there now. It's not understanding the message. Some people can repeat the message, but they didn't hear anything. One man was just sitting there and just heard something something specific, and the thing lights up something inside him, and something explodes. What someone can repeat the message? That's understanding, because there's so much knowledge. I'm not sure how to cause that knowledge to become a tangible event in your life. So much knowledge. I mean, people can quote, too much knowledge. Someone was saying, all the knowledge you have, well, you're going for knowledge. Or have you translated it into tangible forms in your life? I think the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. So this thing is not a social gathering, no. We're talking about, we are a people who are in contact with a living God. And the Church of Jesus Christ is a living organism, a living entity. And the Spirit of God causes things to be transmitted from Jesus, the head of the church, even to the body, and even among one another. So let's understand that we are living. That's why you cannot afford to allow strife to dwell in your body. You cannot allow, you cut it off. For example, let me give you an example. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. For example, if you are the leg, can the head transfer, if I want to give blood supply to the leg, won't it go through all the veins? Will the head just transfer blood like that through an external conduit to the leg? It wouldn't. That's what we are so connected that we want to understand this. So people are saying, well, reaching, the thing is going to come through your brother. From the head, it's going to go through several channels to get to you. So people are saying that they are reaching out, they isolate themselves and are going to God. No. It's going to come through the joints and bands to get to you. So that's why you cannot isolate yourself from the body. When I say isolate, it's not physically present. It is in intercessory prayer for one another. Welcome to the reading of Christianity, intercessory prayer for one another. Because if the foot is touched, the head is touched. If the leg is touched, can you say that this is your body and your foot is injured? Foot, stay on your side, I'm fine. And your foot is broken. You can't move now, it's affecting you. You're limping. So that's how the body of Christ functions. If one person suffers, everybody suffers. If one person is injured, is hurting, everybody is hurting. If one person sins, everybody sins. You go to God and say, Father, we have sinned against you. Not he has sinned against you. No. We have sinned against you. We're so interconnected. That's why Paul said, look, that guy that didn't repent, see, he's going to affect the body. Cut him out. See, a little living will leaven the whole lump. So because of that, he's not repentant. See, he's going to leaven the whole body because he's part of us. Cut him out. Understand this. Very important. That is the foundation which you function. So when you see that and understand that, to speak against your brother, you know you're speaking against yourself. When you understand that clearly, you say, that one is not. You are speaking against yourself. And not to talk of speaking against. That's what Paul said. How can you, as Christians, bring your own fellow brother, even to the Lord, the unbeliever, before him? He said, I don't understand. That means you don't understand and descend the Lord's body. Understand is very important. So when you do that, you are speaking against yourself and you are speaking against Christ because he's part of the body. When he says, that's why he says love is the foundation of the new covenant. It's not because love, just love. No. Because that's what unites the body. So understand that. So he says, Romans 8, verse 14 and 15. Say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 15, it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the spirit itself, wrong translation, that itself is himself. The same word that was used in 1 Peter 2:24, saying himself took our infirmities. So that word was mistranslated or misused by the King James. It's actually himself, because the Holy Ghost is a person. It's not an it. It's a him, and he's here today. Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hold your place there. We're going to focus on that verse, and I want us to, we're going to go deep into this thing. It will save our lives from, see, this thing we're going to share is going to save you from many heartaches. It's going to save you from many things that people have suffered from unnecessarily. He says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's go to John chapter 14. We'll come back there. John 14, 16 to 17. It's about the Holy Spirit. And I will show you from the scriptures how the difference between the old covenant and the new, apart from the new birth, God has given us this person called the Holy Spirit in this dispensation. And it's a shame that we've actually neglected him and put him to the sideline. We've not actually involved him in the daily affairs of our lives. John chapter 14 verse 16. Jesus said here, says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He says, I will pray the Father that he may give you another comforter, that he, that comforter, is a person, may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is what the distinguishing feature is. Because it seeth him, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Follow me. He says, he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So it means that as you sit here, apart from your recreated human spirit, which is on the inside of you, there's another spirit inside you, which is the Holy Spirit. He's actually inside you. But we have to grow to the point. It's a training. Next few weeks, by God's grace, we'll talk about how to train yourself to be conscious of his presence inside. He's actually in you. He says, he shall be with you and shall be in you, even that spirit of truth. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. It means if he's in you, that means he will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you're in trouble, in any situation where it seems that, oh my God, I'm alone in this thing. No. The helper is in there. The helper is in there. And he's always speaking to you constantly. It's just that we have to tune ourselves to the frequency sometimes of hearing him. He's in there. You have to be conscious of his presence in there. He's in there to help you. He's not just there for aesthetic purposes. No, he's in there to help. He's in there to put you over. He's in there to manifest himself. Things might look alien to you as a person. Things might look as if this is the end of the road for you, but he's in there. He's in there. It can never be the end of the road for him because he knows all things. He's in there. No matter what situation, see, the Holy Ghost is omnipotent. That means he has all power. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. David says, how can I go from your presence? If I go up, if I go down, if I go to the bottom of the earth, you are there. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And he knows all things. He knows all things. And you know because of that, think about it. The fact that in your mind's eye, you don't know the way out of the situation, or you don't know what to do regarding that situation, but he's in there. He knows all things. He knows it. So it means that we have to learn how to switch from at that position, at that those times where we feel as if all hope is gone, to switch and to lean on him on the inside and let him not take over and direct us. We have to learn. It's an art. It's practice. It's called practicing the presence of God on the inside, which you must learn how to do. It's practicing that presence, his presence on the inside. And he's such a gentleman that he will not force himself on you. He will only act when he's asked. He will only act when he's asked. He will only come into your space when he's invited. He's a gentleman. Understand that. So he's in you to help you. Let's go to John 16, 7 to 8. Oh no, hold your place there, 26 and 27. So what is there, the comforter is there, John 14, 26, 27. But the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look, this is just, this gift is just too much. So he will teach you all things ranging from cleaning to any kind of profession you want to think about. All things. Ranging from being a trader, ranging from being a doctor, being a lawyer, he knows the knowledge.
He will teach you all things. So don't limit him to the four walls of the church. It's not only the pastor that the Holy Ghost manifests himself through. No. The Holy Ghost manifests himself in your daily walk of life. As a teacher, he will teach you all things. He will teach you techniques of teaching that even the world do not know. Let's begin to maximize it. It's not just, see, Christianity is not just limited to the four walls of the church. The same way the pastor operates by the Holy Spirit, by the word of wisdom, which are his gifts, the word of knowledge, you in your profession, or whatever you find your hands doing, she will manifest the gifts and the presence of the Spirit in your work. That's what he's there for. What is the word of knowledge? You just say, there's someone here. No, it's not only that. You go to your office too and say, no, that's true. He will give you wisdom, strange insight. You're having marital problems. You're having issues with your children. He will tell you what to do. You have to ask him. He knows everything. He knows everything. One day, I was in school. I'd come to the end. I was confessing God's word. I said, look, you know, medical school can be as confessing. But you know how it is. Paul said in Corinthians, he said that he says, look, brethren, let's go. You're not alone. First Corinthians. I have to show you this. And I explain what I'm saying to you. Corinthians. The one. See, you're not alone. You see. Now, let's go there. 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. See, for you will not, I will not, brethren. See, people think that people that just, as some people you see, you say, nothing happens to them. No, because they don't tell you. You say, I will not have you, brethren, ignorant, 2 Corinthians 1 8, of our trouble, which came, this was Paul, which came to us in Asia. Said that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. This was Paul, the great apostle. So there might be situations in your life where you feel pressed above measure, so much that you even despaired of life. That you say, this is life. Lord, take me. That's what happens there. But he went to, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that was what come to an end in our own selves. Life as we knew it, the family we dreamt of having had come to an end. The career, the beautiful career that we thought we would have had come to an end. And we thought that was the end. But that was the sentence of death in our own selves, in our limited mind. Things had come to an end the way we thought it would be. In our sense, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in him that raises the dead. What God is saying, that when you come to that kind of place in your life, that have come to an end in yourself, it means that now it's my time to begin to start living your life. It means that I'm taking you now. I want to raise you up to a new level of life that you didn't know before. Life as you knew it might have come to an end, but God is saying, no, now is the time for me to raise you up to a place that you did not even think of in your imagination that you'll ever be. I'm telling you, this thing is practical. This is what Christianity is about. But when people come to that place where they make the brick wall, as if there is no, all hope is lost. All my strength is gone. God is saying, now, let me start. Because God's ways is not, there's no plateau. God's ways is like a pyramid. Always goes up. So when you come to a place that there's a pyramid, it means there's something else God is pushing you into that you have not readily seen with your eyes or heard with your ears yet. But he will show you. That's when the Spirit of God now begins to nudge you and say, look, this is what you ought to do. So let's understand that. So he says, as I was saying in that story, I've come to that place. I said, Lord, help me. I said, pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. See, open my eyes. You know all things. See, let us humble ourselves. We might know scriptures, but humility. Humility meaning surrendering to the purpose of God and understanding that whatever he says to you or he nudges in your heart is for your own good. Trusting in his love to direct you. I was praying, I said, Lord, I've come to there. I've been confessing the scripture, but what do I do now?
As I was praying and worshiping, the Holy Ghost flashed something into my consciousness. He just showed me a picture. He said, go and meet 1, 2, 3 people. It's not as if I heard a voice. It came from inside me. And they will give you extra classes. When I came out of that place, when I told my friend, I said, this is what I saw. He said, what on earth, or where on earth did you get that wisdom from? Well, I've been sitting here with you. It never occurred to me naturally. And as I carried out the action, there was a manifestation of power. That's what the Holy Ghost, it's a simple thing. But we have to be sensitive. We have to begin to give him the respect. That's what distinguishes us from the world. Let me show you something. Galatians chapter 3. So wherever you are today, you might have come to the end of yourself. It means God is saying, now, I want to take you to the next level for your life. And this is how we do it. Galatians chapter 3. He's a person, and he must be given that respect. He's not the wind. He's not his gifts. The gifts are separate from him. So he is a person. And the way you develop a relationship with a person is by spending time interacting with him as a person. And asking him questions, talking to him, listening to hear his voice. We'll talk about that in the course of the week, how to develop. See, that is what we need in this time, because we have to enter into the prophetic, meaning that, you know, I can get scriptures on finances. Let me give you an example. I can be confessing scriptures, which I do, on finances. And that's grown on the inside of me. And I say, God has supplied all my needs and all that. And I'm sure that my needs are met. But you need that direction. He says, okay, now, don't invest in that. See, when you want to invest, he says, okay, take all your money out of that bank and put it in that bank. That's the Holy Spirit. And don't do it. In 6 months now, you hear that bank has failed. Or he sees things in the future. Or you're trying to take a decision. You're trying to get married or something. And there's a check. See, when you have a check like that, don't be hasty. Settle down. Even if they've made all the arrangements, they've invited people, they've printed the invitation card. See, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost knows it. I say, we have seen this thing. I've suffered, but God saved me. No, I'm telling you something that will save your life. A woman was walking. She was confessing Psalm 91, that I'm protected by God. It has entered into her spirit. She was going somewhere. She said, she was going there. She had a check, but she said, no, I'm confessing Psalm 91. I'm going. And she went there, and she was actually attacked. She said, God, why did you save me? The man of God said, come. Tell me the truth. Tell me, do you have any warning signs? I said, yes, I did. Ask people that have had tragedies. The Holy Ghost always speaks. So we're trying to get us to begin to train ourselves to hear his voice, because the Spirit of truth, the world cannot receive him. That's how you will distinguish yourself on the earth. The direction of the Spirit, the leadership of the Spirit. That's what we call your true sonship to manifest on the earth. Simple things, but profound. I've said this example before. I'll say it again. I was a medical doctor. You know when it happened? I was trying to write, a nurse came to me to write a prescription. We'll not go too far today, but I'm sure it'll help someone. My neighbor, a nurse, she came to write a prescription, came to my house. My mother is sick. Even if it's a good fit. My mother is sick, please let me write a prescription. I said, okay. As I took the prescription sheet, to be honest with you, as I put my pen on that paper, check, ding, ding, like red light. I said, no, I'm helping. But I didn't understand what it meant. You don't have to understand it. It's the thing, it's the witness of the Spirit inside you. It says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits. You don't have to understand this. This is how the Holy Ghost will save you from. You don't have to. The Holy Ghost has gone to the future and has taken all the events of life and said, I've seen the outcome of this thing in the future. Stop. Don't do it. And I wrote it. As I wrote it, the thing just died down. The voice. And I gave it to her. A year after. See, listen to me. A year after, I get a call that the police are in the hospital from Heathrow Airport looking for me. What are you looking for me for? He said, can you remember a prescription you wrote a year ago? I said, ah. No. These are practical things of life. I want to tell you how the Holy Spirit works. He said, the nurse that you wrote it for, her sister, was coming to the country with fake documents. Did I know that the Holy Ghost had completed everything? I was coming into the UK with fake documents after a year. And said, what are you coming for? The elder. Ah, let me look for something to say to them that they will feel sorry for me. Okay, I'm coming to collect my mom's prescription. She's not well. Prescription. What prescription are you coming to collect? Prescription, my mom's prescription. Who writes the prescription for you? A doctor in the hospital. Ah, a doctor in the hospital. Okay, let us go and meet that doctor. An investigation took place. You know, so I had to go back to God. God said, remember the check you had? That was me telling you. But there's still salvation. There's still salvation. So I came up to God, and he gave me the way out of the way of escape. So I'm just going to tell you that, look, you might not know the exact reason why you have that check. Please obey it. A man in business, he started with $50. He's now a multimillionaire. I said, how did you do it? He said, I took every decision based on the inward witness. No matter what it looked on the outside, no matter how fanciful it looked, I didn't make a decision based on how it looked on the outside. I stayed back, even if it was something that was very, very good. Even if it looked appealing to the eyes, I stayed back in my closet and I waited before God. I waited before God until in my heart there was peace. I had the inward witness. Okay, you can go ahead with it, or you can see, you can withdraw from it. 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll have to continue next week. It's a deep study, which you have to go over and train people how to develop themselves to begin to hear. It's not voices on the outside. People are trying to hear voices. God is a spirit and man is a spirit. We'll go into the depth next week, and God communicates with you through your spirit, through the inward witness. Don't try and listen to voices on the outside or get things or your direction from the outside. It is from the inward witness. He says he will minister life to your spirit. He says the Lord will lighten my candle. The Lord will lighten my darkness. So it ministers life and the things to your spirit, and from your spirit you are illuminated in your mind. So let's understand that. We'll go into the depth next week, but as we round up now, 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll round up with that. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As you begin to interact with the Holy Spirit and bring him close to you, involving him in all your decisions from the mundane to the spectacular. From the mundane, from how, what am I going to wear today? I'm going to bring him in. My children, what school? See, begin to involve, we're too, I think we have too much knowledge. We're too independent. We don't need him. Begin to bring him into every decision, being conscious of him, and you begin to see yourself. It will come to a time where it will become more real to you than your wife beside you. That's where we're going. Become more real to you than every other thing on the earth. Become the closest person to you, but it comes by development, by association, and by cultivation. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, as we round up. Father, we give you thanks. This thing I'm saying will save your life. Will save the lives of your loved ones. Because he knows all things. Just think about it, that you are in complete communion and being led by one that knows all things. And he is real. 1 Kings 19. From 11. Follow this story. He's preaching. And he said, 1 Kings 19:11, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Listen to this. And break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. There was something spectacular that happened outside. There was a lot of activity going on outside. They had printed invitation cards. They had spent so much money organizing that thing on the outside. Everybody was cheering you, yes, that is the way to go. Man, in their limited knowledge, was saying, that is how to do it. That's what you should be doing. Yes, you. That's what your career you're supposed to go. That is what God has called you for. Are you to your going because of the voices on the outside? And he says, the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after that, the fire, a still, small voice. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside. It doesn't matter what people are saying. Follow the inward witness. But it takes training. It takes training. We made mistakes. But we now understand. After that period, another person came to me. He said, come. I want to send some things to a friend in Nigeria. I said, okay, I'm going. As I got there, listen to me. As I held the things, that same feeling came into me. I said, sorry. I didn't understand. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. This was my friend. He said, why can't you do it? I said, I'm sorry. That I just can't do it. That there's something inside me that's not allowing me. I can't explain it, but I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I can't disobey this. Sorry. What did I find out later? That actually was sending someone that was married. She came to UK briefly. I found out later. He had already started having affairs with her and was using her as a transport to carry gifts to the woman. When your husband released curses, who is he going to land on? The messenger and the together. Listen to the voice of the inward witness. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We ask that, Father, from today onwards, Holy Spirit, we invite you afresh into our lives. We are sorry for neglecting you in any way. In any way we have missed it from your nudgings and your promptings. We repent of it, O Lord. We start afresh today, being conscious of your presence inside us and your direction and your leadership. Father, we ask, O Lord, that you reverse every mistake we've made outside your will. We ask, Lord, that you restore us back into full fellowship with your Spirit. That, Father, through that Spirit, we'll be led by your Spirit and we'll come to a place of true sonship in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name.